Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio. You're listening to Bulletproof with Ari Fuld.
Welcome to Bulletproof. This is Ari Fuld on Israel News Talk Radio, the weekly show we discover, expose, and destroy anti-Israel propaganda and try to get the truth straight. So the first thing I'm asking everyone to do is please do invite your friends and family onto the show, and let's get something straight about Israel and the conflict in the area, what is going on, what is not going on, and how to completely destroy, eradicate the lies and propaganda that's being told about Israel. This week we have a really exciting show. Over the last 2 days, I've been involved in a little debate online with a known journalist here in Israel, which I'll mention afterwards. I have actually invited her to come on the show to defend or explain her statement as she kind of like tried to understand the Tamimis, the girl who slapped the salt of the soldier, IDF soldier, in the face, and how she showed some kind of compassion for the family. Of course, I'll give you some information about this terrorist-supporting family. And we'll discuss why an Israeli Jewish journalist would possibly find compassion with people who seek our destruction, both physical and national one. We'll discuss where that comes from. And again, I invited her on the show to explain her views and how she can possibly find compassion for these people. We're going to be talking about the latest Trump Twitter fiasco. I actually enjoy these Twitter fiascos very much, I have to tell you. It actually makes me laugh. And of course, the phone lines are now already open. If you are in North America, the number is 301-768-4841. That's 301-768-4841. If you're in the Holy Land, the number is 02-6500-151. That's 02-6500-151. So the phone lines are now already open, but we're going to be back after the short break for any of you who want to call in. The chat room is also now live, so hit that button at the top of the screen. Get on the live chat button, and I will, of course, try to answer your questions or comments here live on the show. Look, the bottom line is, you know, and adjust if you can't listen to the whole show. I was saying I'm basically exposing the fabrication, the lies, the emotional mush that the leftists like to make and completely ignore historical facts and truth. And again, for the other side, it's like, oh, you guys don't want peace, so I'm going to destroy that today completely and show you what dishonesty does. To actually the good people, both the Arabs as well as the Jews, how that destroys and causes death on both sides. And the only way that we can beat this is if we all tell the truth. I'll be right back after these messages. Don't go anywhere and share the show off with friends and family.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I'm Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bulletproof with Ari Fuld.
Welcome back to Bulletproof. This is Ari Fuld on Israel News Talk Radio. We have a very fiery show coming up today. We're going to be talking about how the left in Israel do almost irreversible damage to Israel. And why is it that we have Israelis, Jews, who blatantly support or excuse or explain the terrorism that the Arabs have been carrying out for more than 70 years now, and the call to murder, maim, destroy, annihilate the Jewish nation, and why the left constantly makes justifications for that kind of behavior. Now, let me start off by saying that I don't necessarily think the left is evil, all right? I think that they mean well, right? I think they have good intentions. I have no qualms or am not hesitating about saying that. Of course, we know the old famous saying that the road to hell is paved with good intentions, but good intentions are just not good enough. Okay, you know, if I see a rabid dog in the street who's foaming at the mouth and you know, gritting its teeth at me. I might have very good intentions when I want to go over and be nice to that dog, but when it bites my head off, I can't go, well, I was just being nice. You know what I'm saying? In other words, you can have compassion and you can mean well, but if it's misplaced, it's not only dangerous, sometimes you can step over the boundaries of actually morality and turn into immorality and unethical and even cruel to the good people. So again, we have to find out that compassion on its own is not something to brag about. It's not something that, you know, oh, I'm compassionate and therefore I'm wonderful no matter what I'm compassionate about. To be, you know, one guy who was in touch on a feed that I will discuss in one second, one guy got up and told me he's a pacifist. Okay, being pacifist is not a moral thing at all. If someone's coming to kill your family and you choose pacifism and not do anything to fight off those people, you are not a good person. You are not a peace activist in any way or form. You're an evil person. And it seems that from your lack of action, you actually hate your family, because, you know, your personal idea and pacifism over the protection of your family is I would even call it senile. In other words, that is really something that seems to be a little bit, you know, off the sane track. That being said, this week, the Tamimi, the 18-year-old girl or the 17-year-old girl who slapped a soldier in the face, it seems the saga is not going to rest so quickly. The truth of the matter is, for me, it was really, really done with. I wasn't going to speak about it again. However, this week I happened to come upon, or actually someone sent it to me, a post on Facebook by Sarah Tuttle Singer, who works for the Times of Israel. And, you know, I want to read your post. Now, look, I want to start off by saying the following. Like I said on my Facebook feed just now, is I vehemently disagree with almost everything she says, from one end of the world to the other. She's completely diametrical opposite of what I believe when it comes to Israel. That being said, I'm 100% opposed to anyone personally attacking her or anyone else based on their political beliefs or aspirations or whatever you want to call them. And again, I'm vehemently against and opposed what she says almost from A to Z. And I'll explain why in a second. But again, I am asking everyone who does respond, whether you call in or you're on the chat room, to respond civilly and on point and not on a personal level. So first of all, I want to invite everyone on who's listening. And Sarah, if you are listening, I really would like to have you on. I promise to be civil and just get the answers out of you. The North American number for Israel News Talk Radio is 301-768-4841. The Israeli number is 02-650-0151. Okay, so what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to read out the post that Sarah put out. And again, I will say that she probably means well. I know, you know, what ifs and buts about that. In the year, and this is already starting the post, in the era of fake news, let's talk about what's true. It's true that the Tamimi family lives under occupation. And it's true that the occupation is good for no one. And it's true that members of the Tamimi family call for murdering Jews. And it's true her family celebrated the murder of a little girl in her bedroom. And it's true that a Facebook Live video had called for the resistance by any means, including stoning and stabbing and suicide bombings. And it's true I had a 16. And it's true that when I was 16, I was worried about my history test and not whether my house would be demolished. And it's true that that Ahed's cousin was shot in the head at close range. And it's true that Ahed's other cousin was a terrorist and blew up the Sabaro pizza restaurant. And it's true that soldiers shouldn't be in there in Ahed's house in the first place. And it's true that if soldiers were in my home, I don't know how I would react, but I sure as hell wouldn't offer them tea. And it's true that when the British were here, we fought back and killed people too. And it's true that there are no easy answers, and there are really no heroes in the story of the girl and the soldier, and there are no villains either. Just a struggle. Just exhaustion, just a status quo that needs to change. And the world is not black and white. It's all colors, blue like the sky, gray like rain, red like blood, and green like grass and all the growing things. Okay, that's the post. Now, you know, a lot of people on the right, they do shoot from the hip and they react without thinking first and name calling and cursing. And of course, people on the left do that as well. But when I saw this, I read it 3-4 times to understand what her point was. And I want to break it down basically one sentence at a time. For those of you listening, and you tell me what you think. So first of all, it is true that the Tamimi family lives under occupation. So the Tamimi family, from what I understand, lives in Ramallah. They're under the PA. Now, what happens, again, they're not under Israel, but they're under the Palestinian Authority. The only thing that Israel has control over there is security control. If there's terrorists, we go in. If there's demonstrations that are trying to get to the road to throw bricks through Jewish pedestrians' windows as they're driving home, so the army has to stop those demonstrations from happening. Now, in terms of the occupation claim, you see, what happens is the left in Israel make an occupation claim, and they don't actually go together with the Arab occupation claim. See, the Arab occupation claim is that Israel occupied from occupied Palestine for the Palestinians, and they're fighting to once again free their country, which existed before Israel came, and therefore they justify the struggle and against Israel and the desire to destroy Israel and the justice of murdering Jews is that because they're trying to get their country back. That's their claim. That's the occupation claim from the Arabs. Now, the problem with that claim is it's fabricated. It's false. It doesn't have any truth to it. In other words, Israel never occupied Palestine from Palestinians. And I've said this once and I said it 1,000 times. I raise a Palestinian flag on my home in Judea. If anyone out there can give me the year when Israel occupied a place called Palestine from Palestinians. In fact, as I always said, I will raise a Palestinian flag if anyone can give me the year when an Arab place called Palestine ever existed pre-Israel. Okay? So number one, the first statement of truth that they live under occupation is 100% false. They live under the PA. And now the truth of the matter is that the Tamimi family lives in a very, very luxurious house and a very luxurious things in their house. If you ask me how I know, I'll tell you that the left-wing anti-IDF organization called Breaking the Silence brings tours of people, most of you from outside Israel, into the Tamimi's home to see how living like is under occupation. And one of my friends actually went on these tours and they took pictures. And along with the beautiful home that they live in and the designer clothes they have, everything from a smart TV, a huge big screen smart TV in the living room, they are not the example of refugees. They are not the example of poor people living under occupation. It's actually ludicrous and dishonest, or maybe just ignorant to say so. Okay, they're living a very, very good life there. Okay, but they say it's the occupation is good for no one. Well, again, if there was occupation, we'd discuss that. And it's true that members of the Tamimi family call for murdering Jews. That is true, and I'm happy that Sarah got that out because I'm happy she didn't hide it. I'm happy she said it. It's true that her family celebrated the murder of a little girl in her bedroom. And it's true that on a Facebook live video, I had called for resistance by any means, including stoning, stabbing, and suicide bombing, Islamic terrorism, pretty much. It's true that Ed is 16. Well, that's not really true. She's practically 18, but that's fine. That's really a minor fact here. And it's true that when I was 16, Sarah says, I was worried about my history test. Now that my house would be demolished. And it's true that Ed, all right. So number one, Ed's not worried about her house being demolished. There's no reality that her house is under threat of being demolished. And you know, again, this is the type of things where pretty much cuts out my ability to agree with anything the left says, because there's no reality of that. Like, what is she talking about? When is Ahed Tamimi's house ever been under threat of destruction? So, again, I don't know what they're talking about. The demonstration that happened in her town happened because of a live spring, a fresh spring, which is under the auspices of a Jewish town in the area. And they're demonstrating to take that spring back. But it has nothing to do with her house being destroyed, unless she has a brother and sister who carried out an act of terrorism and she supports it, obviously, then yes, their house is destroyed. So the only reason their house would be threatened to be destroyed is if their family member, immediate family member, murdered Jews. But again, I'm not sure what Sarah was talking about here, but we have to go on. And then she says that her Ed's cousin was shot in the head at close range. Well, actually, he was at a violent demonstration, again, trying to throw bricks through Jewish car windows, and he was hit by a gas, tear gas canister in his face, and unfortunately was killed. And again, I will say the following. If an IDF soldier aimed to kill someone, then he should be put up on charges for killing someone. All right, that's the bottom line. But it wasn't. He shot the canister, and he was killed by canister while he was at a violent demonstration. Horrible, horrible situation, by the way. Now it says, Ed's other cousin was a terrorist that blew up Sabara's, a pizza restaurant. She murdered 15 Israelis, including 7 kids, injuring 130 other Israelis. And then she says it's true that the IDF shouldn't be in Ed's house in the first place. Well, that's not true, Sarah, because the IDF is stopping these demonstrations from getting to the streets so Jewish travelers on the road don't have to get a brick through their window and die. So that's what the IDF is trying to stop. So yes, they should be in her house to make sure that doesn't get to the street. I'm not sure what Sarah would think if she thinks maybe the IDF should leave that area and allow these demonstrators to throw bricks through Jewish people who are traveling on the road to get home. Okay, and then it says If soldiers were in my home, Sarah says, I don't know how I would react. Well, you know, I do know how I would react because we had soldiers in our homes. We had people who were trying to murder us. We had people who were trying to slaughter us and gassed and murdered 6 million of us. And no, we didn't support, like the Tamimi family does, the murdering of innocent people. We never went to that. We never stooped to that level. If we're talking about the Nazis who came after the Jews, we would never slap a Nazi in the face because they put a bullet in our head. So no, it's not the same situation at all, Sarah. There's no comparison between what the Jews were going through in the Holocaust and what is Tamimi's film is going on. And again, it's a matter of reality. It's not a matter of anything else. We're going to be right back. This is going to go on. Don't go anywhere.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Bulletproof with Ari Fuld.
Okay, we're back. I just want to go on a little bit till we get to my full response on this. But it goes on. She says here that so I was talking about the Nazis when we actually were in, you know, in danger of actually being annihilated, and not soldiers trying to stop violent demonstrations from throwing bricks through other civilian people's cars, but actually they actually did want to kill us, and we actually had the threat of being annihilated. We did not act like the Tamimi family acts in any way or form. So again, I'm not sure when she says that I don't know how she would react. Well, I do. We didn't react like that. And she says she wouldn't offer the soldiers tea. Well, I don't know who's asking for tea, Sarah. I mean, the soldiers didn't ask for anything from them. So then they say, when the British were, we fought back and killed people too. So what she's probably talking about, if I have to guess, was the King David bombing. Okay? Now, this is the real problem. What Sarah is doing here, and what a lot of the left-wingers do, is they like to make a comparison. They like to equate what the Jews did when we were fighting for our survival in the state and what the Tamimi family or the Arabs do here in Israel. Okay, this is only one small, tiny little difference. I'm not even saying that the act was good, like most people thought it wasn't actually. But the point is that the King David bombing was on the military central command of the British. And again, the Jews called in to warn the British. The British didn't listen. And unfortunately, terribly innocent people were killed. The difference between the two effects of that happening and what Sarah's trying to equate it to is that we didn't have actually a desire to murder innocent people. Yeah, and it's terrible. People died. The Tamimis and the people that Sarah is trying to relate to and equate to actually have a desire to murder innocent people. And the more innocent people they murder, the happier they are. Now, I'm not just making things up. In fact, the cousin, which Sarah actually mentioned in the post above, when she blew up the Sabaro Pizza restaurant in Jerusalem, and they told her that she thought 6 kids were dead, and they thought all 8 were dead, and she was so happy that she had another 2, but she was disappointed that more people didn't die. So there's really no equation. In other words, even if in the beginning of the state, unless somebody took a gun and was shooting innocent people or murdering innocent people just for terrorism or statement, then I could see the equation. And if there was such an equation, I would certainly be against it. But what Sarah's trying to do here and what a lot of the left wing do is they equate situations that are completely unequatable. There's nothing equal between them in order to somehow give a check of justification to those who are murdering Jews today by targets and equate it somehow to what happened in the beginning of the state. And then, of course, she goes on. It says there are no easy answers answers that there really are no heroes in the story of the girl and the soldier, and there are no villains either. So here's where my big problems start happening with Sarah's claims. There is a really easy answer, and there are heroes and there are villains in this story. You see, the easy answer is the Arabs stop desiring to destroy Israel. The Arabs give up the fabricated Palestinian identity, which was created in order to murder and destroy Israel and justify their actions, and peace would almost be instantaneous, okay? That's the easy answer. In terms of the villains and the heroes, okay, so maybe heroes, there are none. Villains, there certainly are villains here. Now, the soldiers were in that city, Sarah, in order to stop the terrorists from throwing bricks and boulders and rocks at driving cars who were going home to their city. So, yes, they were there to protect people. The Tamimi family and the little girl was there to assault. The soldier was not trying to empty out from their homes at all. And this young little terrorist has a history of assaulting IDF soldiers. Her family has a terrible terrorist history of both advocating for and actually being involved hands-on of the murder of innocent random Jews. So yes, Sarah, there are villains here. And it actually hurts me. It makes me sad that you cannot clearly see who the villains are. And then she writes, it's just a struggle, just exhaustion, just a status quo that needs to change, and the world is not black and white. It's all the colors, blue like the sky, green like gray like the rain, red like the blood, and green like grass and all the growing things. So no, there are no nice colors like the sky and the rain. And it's only red. It's blood red, Sarah. And the reason that it's blood red, by the way, is because, okay, the Arabs from the beginning of time, beginning of Israel, had one thing on their mind, and that's the destruction of Israel. This is not about occupation. It's not about Palestine. Like I've said this many times before on this show, between 1948 and 1967, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Gaza, and the Golan Heights were all in Arab control. In other words, all of the land that the Arabs are claiming that if we just leave those land, they'll stop being upset with us, they were in Arab control. And it was during those 18 years when the PLO terrorist organization, which was the first national Arab Palestinian organization or entity, was created with the goal of destroying Israel. So I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying. I'm just trying to show you that it's just not factually correct. It's just blood red. The color is blood red, and it comes from one side. Yes, there are soldiers who do things that are wrong. Arrest them, throw them in jail if they do something wrong. But the conflict is not two-sided here. The Arabs use a fabricated national claim called Palestine, and they claim that Israel stole Palestine from them. They claim that Jews don't have a right, not a religious, historic, or national one, to Jerusalem, while they do. They fabricate history, and they create a narrative that they use in order to justify terrorism, murder. And what you did in that post, Sarah, no, I'm sure you're not for anyone killing anyone, but what you did in that post, Sarah, was you put a, what we call a hechsher, you put a kosher sign on their narrative. Yes, we have to take into account their narrative and their feelings that are based on that narrative. Now, I don't understand why you do this and why the left does this. I don't have to take into account the emotions of people who fabricate history in order to justify killing me. And again, compassion is wonderful, but it's horrifically evil in the wrong place. When compassion is on the wrong side, it's wrong. So no, you shouldn't have any compassion for this family. And you should have compassion for a young terrorist, with all due respect, who advocates and supports terrorism, the murder of your people, Sarah. You should not have compassion when she slaps a soldier across the face. What you should be is you'd be offended and saying that girl should have been arrested right away and thrown in jail for her terrorist incitement and for assaulting a soldier. But instead, you somehow find compassion. You talk about, oh, this poor little girl in the occupation. Now, if this was the end of this, you know, the end of this thread, it would have been the end of it, right? Of course, I put out on my Facebook the pictures of the Tamimi family, which basically show everything from how to stab Jews and murder them effectively. It's what the mother put out, or the father putting out that IDF kills Palestinian children in order to drink their blood, or the little brave terrorist there who actually wrote that she justifies the murder of Jews as an act of going against the Israeli occupation, quote unquote. Now, there was another young gentleman there who basically also kicked into the conversation. And again, this is typical left-wing historic fabrication, which I don't even understand. I don't know if this guy is Jewish or not. I don't know. But here's his response, okay? He writes, the Germans were awful, but not completely bat – I don't curse, so bat crap, okay? This is what he writes. They didn't build settlements in occupied Poland. They didn't vacation there, didn't grant visas to people they were with for cheap labor, and used collaborators to interact with civilians. In other words, what this guy, Corey is saying, his name is, But this guy is saying that the Israelis are worse than the Germans, the Nazis. Do you understand how the left, this is their historic overview of the world. The Germans were awful, but not completely bad. Yeah, why? Because they didn't build settlements and occupy Poland. So I turned to him and I said, well, can you please tell me when Israel occupied Palestine for the Palestinians? At which point he turned back to me and said, it's completely irrelevant. Okay? But again, it's not. It's worse than that. And then he writes, at what age do Israelis learn where to shoot to kill? You understand? Talk about parenting. Israel is at war with Palestinians. That why it arms its teens with assault weapons to harass its neighbors incessantly for half a century. Do you understand? This guy says Israelis, when they go into the IDF, they learn to shoot to kill as if it's like just to shoot for kill for gains. And then he says that we have weapons in order to harass our neighbors for half a century, right, for 50 years. I understand what this guy's mindset. It's relevant to this guy that the Arabs are the ones who actually started all the wars. It's irrelevant to this guy that in 1947, when the Arab League said no to the partition plan and they attacked the young Jewish state, it's irrelevant that in 67 and 73, the leaders of the Arab world called to annihilate the Jewish state. It's totally irrelevant to him. Facts are totally irrelevant to this guy who, again, sorry, his name is, he's a left-winger, obviously, and history doesn't mean anything to him. And it gets much worse. Because what he said to me then is that I spread libels about him. Okay? He said he didn't condone violence. Right? But I just want to read you out. What he said in terms of violence. Okay? Here's his what he writes about condoning violence. Again, remember, he says he doesn't condone violence. Okay? Here we go. He writes the following. Cut the BS. Israel has been literally occupying Palestinians for half a century. If the Tamimi family had set itself on fire instead of blowing up Sbarro's, Palestine would not be free. There would just be a settler family in that house. Now, I don't know what language you speak here on the show, but that sounds to me like this guy has completely and totally justified the explosion, the blowing up of a pizza restaurant in Jerusalem and the murder of 15 Israelis, 7 children, and the injuring of 130 random and innocent Jews in Jerusalem. Now, the question is, are these people evil? Okay, again, my answer is no. Okay, why do they do this? Well, I'm going to discuss that when we come back from the break. And again, I invite Sarah on or Corey on. I sent them messages on their private Facebook pages to come on the show and explain their views. I would love for them to maybe I'm explaining them incorrectly. Maybe I was dishonest about what they really said. I invite Sarah or Corey to come on. And again, I don't think Sarah agreed with Corey, by the way. I could be mistaken. But I invite either one of you to come on and explain your views to the public who are listening, why you are constantly showing compassion for the enemies of Israel, who have since the beginning of time called to destroy Israel. We're going to be right back after these messages. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Jono Vandor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
We're going to be talking about...
What are we going to talk about?
A person who takes out a terrorist with a pizza tray.
And there's Donald Trump talking to a turkey. What's that about?
A 71-year-old rock star is a staunch supporter of Israel.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind.
Every Thursday.
Listening to Bulletproof with Ari Fuld.
Welcome back to Bulletproof. This is Ari Fuld. As I'm going on the show, obviously one of the people who I was speaking about now, Corey, actually responded to me on Facebook, telling me I'm the best. I look forward to hearing from all the root vegetables from your garden of delusion. So I said to him, look, he says, and then of course he writes, perhaps your death will not be so terrible after all. Well, thank you, Corey, for wishing my death. That's very kind of you. And then he asked me to say his name correctly, which I won't, because he says he doesn't really mess up his name like I mess up the facts. So, of course, I invited Corey to come on to the show and explain to me which facts I messed up. But, of course, Corey won't do that because, like the left like to do the most, they scream and they whine and they cry and make up facts, and then they say you're lying. But when you ask them to come on and actually back their claims, they just don't do so. And again, you can come on even anonymously if you want. Kari, no problem. I don't hold it against you. So let's get back to what's going on here. So the reason that the left do this, okay? So there are left-wingers who really do want peace. I actually believe that Sarah wants peace. I don't believe – I hope I'm right. I don't believe that Sarah actually – I don't think that she's pro the terrorist. I don't think that at all. I think she's a very sweet girl. She's a young woman who wants peace. I believe that. I do believe that. And due to her, perhaps her naivety, she believes peace will come with all kinds of nice gestures to those who want to destroy us. And that's the way peace will come. On the other hand, the other guy, Corey, well, he is on a whole different level. From reading his responses on Facebook, it's clear to me that it's not about peace at all. He actually sees Israel as the devil. I mean, literally throughout his responses, he blamed Israel for pretty much everything, which, again, I don't think that Sarah would agree with him, so I'll give her that credit. But I do wish he would come on here and explain his views, which I'm not so sure that he's going to do. But again, there are two kinds of left-wing activists. So when it comes also to the anti-Israel crew, you know, there are those who hate Israel, and there are those who really do want happiness for everyone. So they want to try to figure out a solution, even to give happiness to the Arabs all over the country. So now, look, in terms of me, you know, I believe that every person, irrelevant of race, religion, or anything else, has a right to be happy and live. Okay, there's no, I don't know, people seem to think that I believe differently. I don't. I believe whether you're a Muslim, Christian, Jewish, Buddhist, or Chinese, or Japanese, or I don't care where you're from, what you are, what your color is, I don't really care about anything. You have a right to live and be happy, okay? And so I wanted to differentiate that we're not talking about that conflict. In other words, it's not that Israel is saying that someone who's an Arab has no right to live. That's a ridiculous statement, because we see that inside Israel, everything from Arab villages to Arab lawyers to Arab judges to Arab police commissioners to Arab, army officers in the Israeli army, in the IDF, you know, they exist. And we're very happy about those Arabs who are loyal to the state of Israel and they want to become part of the culture. That's wonderful. So no, this is not about, you know, people, we don't want people to live. And that's not at all what we're talking about. Because that's not their claim. In other words, they're not their claim that, oh, we don't get rights in Israel. And if we had rights, we wouldn't murder people. Their claim is that because you stole Palestine from us, we are fighting to get back our country. Okay, and all right, so Larry's on the line here. Let's pick him up on the line. Larry, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you doing today?
Fantastic, Larry. Where are you calling in from?
Well, I'm calling in from Kansas, right in the center of the country.
Awesome.
You know, you talk about young people, and it's hard to tell them that they're wrong because they're so convinced that they're correct. The political correctness is going to get us all killed in the long run. And these young people, they've got to get past just talking nice, feeling good, and thinking if they do that, that everything will work out fine. It's a good concept, and it sounds good, but when somebody else is shooting at you or sharpening their knife to cut your throat, you've got to approach it from a different angle, I think.
So, you know, like, you know, what I say to these people sometimes, say, you know what, I think you people are great. I want to give you a big hug. Here's what I want from you to do. When we have a bomb threat, okay, I want you to go over and hug the terrorist. Maybe he won't blow up. Why do people who have to hold the guns put their lives in danger? Maybe it'll work. Go hug the terrorist. See, maybe he won't blow up. Tell him you love him. In other words, you're right. The problem is that they have these nice ideas.
A lot of them would agree with you on that. A lot of them would agree with you on that. They teach them that in school now.
Maybe I should have a sign-up sheet. But, you know, the point is you're right what you said. And again, the problem has been that these people come in and talk about this happy-go-lucky, you know, Alice in Wonderland, feel-good world when we're living in this world where there are bullets flying. And, you know, I said this about Chamberlain. I say it almost every show. Chamberlain made peace with Hitler.
I know.
And he was very proud of that. He said, you know, I brought peace in our time. And it was a horrifically unethical, immoral, and cruel deal that he could possibly make. You know, and Churchill said to him at the time, you had a choice between war and dishonor. You chose dishonor, and you will have war. We know the end game there. So, you know, the question is,
Churchill right now.
We need Churchill right now.
We could use a big dose of him right now. And I'll tell you what, the only hope I see in the whole thing, that I bump into people once in a while on the radio and here and there that talk like you. We need a lot more people with your attitude and with guts enough to state it, or we are lost. And I personally am kind of the opinion that we're lost anyway, and I hate to call in and say that.
No,
but
it's fine.
I call them as I see them, and that's what I see right now. But
well, Larry,
you go right on with it, and I hope you can pull us out and say this.
I appreciate that. Well, thank you for the compliment, but I do want to say something. It's not about me. Even if I would do this show now, honestly, I wouldn't care. Because I'm not arguing for me. There's truth in the world. There's historical truth, and there's historical, and there are people who lie. You can't defend the lies. You got to defend the truth. And unfortunately, we've been so engulfed in diplomacy for so many years that we've adopted the fake diplomacy, the fake facts for diplomacy. We've adopted it as truth. So now when someone comes out and says, buddy, that's not true. We did not occupy Palestine for the Palestinians. It's just not true. They get all huffy and puffy, start calling us names. But yeah, you know what? It's one L at a time we'll get this done. You know what I'm saying? One burst one lie at a time, we'll fix it. And please God, please God, we'll be able to fix what we've gone so wrong over the last, I don't know how many years.
Well, the lies are piling up on us now. The lies are they're overwhelming us right now. And like I say, good for you for bringing out the truth. And I just wish there were a lot more like you.
Well, I appreciate that.
That's about all I got to say today.
Thank you for calling in, Larry. I appreciate it. All right, so let's just go on for 1 second. So we're talking about people who believe there's a solution by being nice. And the issue is the following, okay? There, you have to have a track record. There's got to be if you make a mistake and you see it didn't work, you can't continue making that same mistake over again. So for those who say it's about land, again, 48 to 67, 18 years, they had everything they asked for. There wasn't peace, so it's not about land, okay? If it's about occupation, again, Israel was not in Judea and Samaria, where people like to call the West Bank. Israel was not in the Gaza Strip, and Israel was not in the Golan Heights between 48 and 67. So it's not about occupation, okay? And if you believe that giving over things to these people who fabricate history in order to justify murdering Jews will be the solution, okay, well, let's test it. What did Israel do in Gaza? We gave up the entire area of Gaza. We kicked all Jews out. We dug up the Jewish dead. There was no Jews left in Gaza whatsoever. And we left. I understand how ridiculous this is. We left greenhouses in Gaza for them to build, start their lives, multi-million dollar businesses. And they destroyed the greenhouses because they're Jewish greenhouses and they don't want to work with Jewish greenhouses. And then they democratically voted for a radical Islamic terrorist organization, a genocidal terrorist organization called Hamas. 80-somewhat percent voted for them. Now, since then, the rocket numbers have gone sky high. We had soldiers in there for years that are still there. We don't know where they are. We don't have control over it. This situation is not good for the Arabs. It's not good for the Jews. It's not good for anyone. So why would anyone who has any sanity left in their brains say, you know what, let's try this again in Judea and Samaria. It worked so well in Gaza. Let's do it in Judea and Samaria. Where's the logic, people? I don't get it. I just don't get it. In terms of me, now here's the big thing. Left-wingers couldn't care about human rights more than they can care about the price of tea in China. Want my proof? When you make deals with Arafat, when you make deals with Abu Mazen, the layman Arab in the street in Ramallah, in Shechem, in Beit Lechem, in all the Arab towns and cities, they suffer because the PA is stealing money from them. The Hamas are torturing them. So it doesn't help when you make deals with radical Islamic terrorists. The only hope for Arabs to regain normalcy in these areas is for Israel to take control and make sure their educational system is looking towards the future. Let them understand there's nothing more to life than just trying to destroy Israel. There's something more than life than just fabricating a historical claim. Life is beautiful, right? But they couldn't do it under their own leadership. They destroyed Gaza completely, turned into a war zone. Now, anyone who says, that's because they reclosed Gaza, that only happened 2 years afterwards. After they started firing missiles at Israel, did we have the place closed? And it's not closed, by the way. In the years that it's closed, the Arabs in Gaza opened up three five-star hotels, two malls, and a water park, which was burned down actually by Hamas. Okay? So no, the leftists who are calling for Israel to make more deals with these terrorists, they don't care about human rights. Some of them hate Israel. And again, I don't think that the author of the post is one of them. I don't think she hates Israel. I think she's naive. But people have to understand that their naivety when it comes to making agreements with terrorists or those who support terrorism in any way does not bring peace. It brings war. It brings death to everybody, both sides. Again, if they really cared about any life, Israeli or Arab, they would see that the track record does not work. Every time Israel made concessions to the Arabs, terrorism went up 30%. So if you really were for peace, you would not call for concessions. And if you were really worried about human rights, you would not be worrying about how a girl gets punished by stopping a soldier in the street. You'd be worried about her educational system that is teaching them from age zero to hate and to kill. And teaching age zero how evil the Jews are, not the Zionists and not the settlers and not Israel. Jews. Okay, and if you would like videos, you can come on my Facebook page and see the videos. I post them almost every day to show you what's coming out of these areas. Okay, so I'm asking you, Sarah, please wise up. We need your compassion. But be compassionate on your people more than your compassion on people who want to kill your people. All right, people, I'm wrapping up here. This is Bulletproof Ari Fold on Israel News Talk Radio. Every Sunday I am here at 5 p.m. Israel time. Happy everyone's here. Please leave your comments on the comment page, and please do share the show out with friends and family. It's really important. And Larry, I want to thank you for calling in. It is important to get the truth out there, and that is my only goal. Signing off from the stunning, beautiful rolling hills of Judea, Israel, Bulletproof, where we expose and destroy anti-Israel propaganda. God bless everyone.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.